The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from Information Technology Services, is Professor Chuck Hokett.
Hey, it's March Madness.
It is. I would not be happier than to see that Duke went down, and then I looked at the score, and it was great. They lost.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jim, if you have any sort of partiality to...
They said all the bracketology is just collapsed.
Totally destroyed.
Exactly.
Who cares? Duke lost? I don't care.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you have any brackets out there, Chuck?
Yeah, I got a few.
Okay. Did you apply for $1 billion?
I lost that, but yeah.
Everybody that applied for that has lost
it. It's gone. Lost it. Probably gone.
It's gone, but who cares? Duke lost. Yeah.
That's what's fun about March Madness.
That's right.
I think the underdogs winning is lots of fun.
A 4-15, wasn't it, or something like that?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
How about you, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies? How are you feeling on your bracket?
I haven't checked lately, but I never bother.
Okay.
I fill them out, but I never check.
Oh, you never check.
I didn't play the $1 billion. I figure if I win, they'll tell me. I didn't do the $1 billion one, but because I just knew the odds were insane. But
yeah, the odds
are. I'm just giving Yahoo my data insane. If I do that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
If I chose no. Okay. I do have good news. I just got an email today from a listener in Washington, D.C.
Wonderful.
So he sends his greetings.
That's fantastic.
Steve McGowan, thank you for writing, and I will... definitely be in touch about getting my documentary on the air.
Yes.
Yay.
Not
good
just that,
you.
But Freep Film Festival, right? Are you going to do any
right.
plugging
Sunday.
Or what?
Isn't it Sunday?
It is. Yeah. But by the time we edit this show, it will be at the Capital City Film Festival in Lansing this year, too. That's in April. So maybe people can see it there.
Fantastic. This is going to be really interesting, as always. Across the table from me is Professor Kendra Evans from Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Heidi-ho.
Heidi-ho. How are you doing, Kendra?
I'm doing very well.
How did this week treat you?
This week wasn't too bad. Not too bad at all.
In comparison to other weeks, it was great. Any interesting anecdotes?
No, I'm very pleased about... OSU going down, and I just found out about Duke, so that's good news. No, did you go to Duke? Is that why we're... Okay, I didn't know.
And he's from North Carolina.
I'm from ACC territory. I have a brother that went to NC State.
Oh, see, I like NC State.
A brother and a sister that went to Carolina, and I went to Virginia.
And that's my husband went there, too.
But I do have a nephew that's a big Duke fan, so I'm sorry for him.
We also have Professor Stephanie Conant here from biology. Glad to have you back, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. How many brackets did you fill out?
None.
Zero.
I just know that I have no control over the TV for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Well, at least the next couple days, that's right. For sure.
You yield control.
Yes. It's amazing how quickly you can shuffle between like three games and catch the last 20 seconds/20 minutes of
it's true.
Each game. Yeah.
It's true. Watching with my two older boys last night, it was pretty amusing because... you know, whatever, Stephen F. Austin is on. And I was like, what the heck is that? I'm like, I don't know what that is, but it exists because they're in the tournament. You know, that's kind of one of the fun parts of the tournament, learning other mascots. And
well, I was trying to figure out, yes, what a Billiken is, because SLU's...
That's right. It's a little, that is also the game we were watching last
night. They beat
somebody's
NC State,
like the Flyers.
Yep, the Flyers of the other U of D. Yeah.
I think and that's the Blue Hens of Delaware.
That's right.
That's right, the Blue Hens.
Oh, yes.
Have a nephew and his wife both graduated from there.
Okay.
So I was sorry to see them go down in flames, but...
Blue flames. These sounds, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Jim Tubbs.
Guten
from
Tag.
Religious Studies. Guten Tag. I put a lot of people, advisees, I should say, in your courses this last week. So enjoy them this fall.
Okay.
Enjoy them. Ethics. I'm thinking of your healthcare
ethics. Healthcare ethics, probably so.
Yeah. They're attracted to you for some reason. I mean, the course, I should say.
Maybe not. Maybe it's something else.
Got to be that shirt or something.
I got to tell you, though, Jim, every time I'm placing a student into those courses or helping them make their schedules, I should say, I'm wondering how he makes it with almost a 3-hour course one night a week. I mean, just that course on its own.
Well, it gives you time to say something about the material and then look at cases with them while they're still, you know, in the same frame of mind.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes it wears out the students, especially when they've been, you know, doing other things all day long. Like a lot of the nursing students, you know, have clinicals and stuff, and they're doing something all day long, and you can tell.
Okay, I understand. Professor Diane Manica is here from Education.
I am.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Jim commented on your brooch or pin. I can't see it from my angle. Oh, that's very nice.
Let me turn towards you.
Okay. Is this, it's either a palm tree or a firework, or it's just a design?
Or a spider.
It's whatever you create from it.
Okay. A flower, a sun.
Yes.
All kinds of things. Right. The reason is, when my mom passed away, she had a whole lot of jewelry. And my sister and I sat down and went through all the jewelry to choose who was going to have what. My sister never, ever, ever wears pins or brooches. Hmm. So I just sort of rubbed my hands together and said, I'll take them all!
That is your game. That is your game.
People don't really know whether they're my mother's or mine.
She's the Baroness of Brooches.
Baroness of Brooches. Well, that's a new title.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Okay.
This is a program, folks, where you can send us questions regarding anything. Baronesses, if you will. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left the panel, we were looking at a very interesting set of questions penned by the divine Dr. Vivian Dix, who is our executive producer. I believe that the way this started is the first sentence of her preamble was, "We've all read The Adventures of Tom Sawyer," and then everybody laughed hysterically because it wasn't true. So we attempted to answer these questions about the book Tom Sawyer, which, of course, Vivian, in true J.D. fashion, with her law degree, has given us the exact page and edition of the book that these correct responses can be found on. Thank you very much for sending these in, Vivian. Let's see what we can do with them. Tom convinces Becky they should become engaged. They would always walk to school together and eventually marry. He even got her to let him kiss her. Becky, however, promptly broke the engagement. Why? What mistake did Tom make?
He didn't ask her father?
No, although at least that's in the wheelhouse of regular reasons someone might break an engagement.
Hmm.
Any ideas?
He didn't throw his cloak down over a puddle.
Didn't give her a ring?
Didn't give her a ring? Nope. He let slip he had been previously engaged to Amy Lawrence, of course. God forbid.
He let slip.
Multiple engagements. Mm-hmm. That's bad news.
Such a
player. Tom and Huck are in the cemetery one night after midnight, and they see three men, the drunk Muff Potter, Injun Joe, and Dr. Robinson. Why were they there?
They were burying somebody.
Actually, they were doing the opposite.
So they were unearthing
somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, they
were
going to
breathe out.
Dr. Robinson was interested in a recent burial.
Oh, yes, so yes. For anatomical purposes.
Exactly. Not anything like Frankenstein.
And the wicked Injun Joe was involved.
Yes, exactly. What do the boys see during this exchange that causes them to run away scared?
Somebody hit somebody with a shovel, didn't they?
Something like that. Injun Joe attacks Dr. Robinson and actually kills him.
Just why he ended up chasing him through the caves.
Mm-hmm. So you have read the book. Mm-hmm. So.
Years and years ago.
Cliff Notes.
Many
decades ago.
Spark Notes. Right, exactly. Spark
Notes. Good recollection.
When Tom is unable to regain Becky Thatcher's affection, he figures his civilized life is over, and he and his two friends set out to be pirates. Who are the two who join him?
Huck.
Huck Finn.
Mm-hmm. And
Captain Hook.
And not Captain Hook. That would make sense.
Oh, man.
Same first name as my son who's visiting us today.
Joe.
Oh, I'll give you partial credit. Joe Harper was his name. Harper and Huckleberry Finn. The three boys run away to a place within sight of the village. Where did they go? Do you remember what it was called? They didn't go to the cave at first. They went first to
the landing. No.
That's actually not a bad choice. Jackson's Island is what they called it, where they went.
Nice.
Right off the landing.
Right off the landing. After a short time on the island, Tom slipped away secretly to visit the village. When he got there, what did he discover the town was saying about him?
That he was dead.
That he was dead. Yeah, absolutely. And what event was he even more pleased to hear about?
His funeral.
His funeral.
Which he attended.
He attended. He was up in the balcony. Wasn't he up in the balcony?
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. He hit up in the balcony.
Vivian is very careful to note the first thing that Tom hears is that them three boys had drowned. While on the island, they played Nux, Ringtaw, and Keeps. What common toy, still widely available but not really as popular, did they employ to play these games?
Marbles?
Jacks.
Marbles. It was marbles,
no,
actually.
Yep.
Ringtaw. That's pretty interesting. There'd be some rings involved, but apparently not. After a few days, all three pirates wanted to leave the island. Why?
They're hungry.
Hungry.
Hungry is a good one, but not quite.
They missed their homesick? Families?
Yeah, they missed their families. They were homesick. Yep. Even Huck Finn, it is remarked here from page 137.
In which edition?
In which edition?
At the trial of Muff Potter for killing Dr. Robinson, Injun Joe testifies he saw Potter stab the doctor. The trial takes a startling turn, however, based on whose testimony?
Tom's.
Tom's, yes. He says he saw Joe attack.
Which
Dr.
is why
Robinson.
Injun Joe chases him through the cage.
Yes.
On page 136.
Yes.
No. That was about page 200.
Oh, okay. What edition?
Toward the end.
Edition 5.
Upon Tom making these statements, what is Injun Joe's initial response?
Ugh. I'll
kill you.
That young man is lying.
We've seen things like this happen before, just not on Law and Order. No, he jumps out the window of the courthouse and runs away. Tom and Huck are going to dig for treasure by the dead tree behind a haunted house, but suddenly abandon the project because of what day it was. What day was it?
Halloween?
Sunday.
No, it wasn't Sunday. It wasn't Halloween. It was a day of the week. Everybody knows.
We've got a 1 in 6 chance if it wasn't Sunday.
This Saturday? Is the unluckiest day of the week.
Monday?
Monday? Nope. Tuesday?
Wednesday?
Friday.
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 Only 7 of them. Friday is the most unlucky day of the week. And it's remarked that Tom
I do not
says,
consider Friday the most unlucky day of the week.
That's the
day
we came
Friday the
13th.
It's ATV day.
Yeah. The boys do not find treasure at all on this trip. Who do they find?
Injun Joe.
Injun Joe.
They find Injun Joe. Huck Finn overhears a plot between Injun Joe and an associate, oh, that's very polite, to assault and possibly murder someone. He summons help and foils the plot. Who was the intended victim?
Tom.
Not Tom,
was
actually.
It the judge?
Someone who was in charge of Tom at some point.
Judge Becky's father there, the judge.
Nope.
No.
No.
Dave Chow?
No, although that would be a good segue to introduce him, Professor Chow.
Look who just arrived.
What's going on, Dave Chow?
Oh, I'm just frazzled, that's all. Nice. Sneaking out of CCS last minute, as always.
Do you remember Dave Chow?
No, I don't remember him at all. I don't remember much now.
In the second plot, after he escapes the courtroom, Injun Joe in Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer.
Who does he want to kill?
The only Tom Sawyer I know is a Rush song. So,
oh, okay.
I mean,
that's not going to happen.
Which is a very good song.
It was the Widow Douglas, of course. The Widow Douglas,
yes,
of course.
Yeah.
And while we think about the Widow Douglas, we're going to have to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their guests in a special session of unrehearsed questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWent. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always.
Sure.
And to his far right, from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Yeah, do we get, like, door prizes or something?
Is that, like, the radical right?
No, not really. He couldn't accuse Greg of being that at all.
Can we turn in our meal ticket for a door prize?
I don't see why not. Okay. Sure. He's back. Kevin Sajak.
The Lazarus of piano
the
players.
The Lazarus of piano players, yes.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. Most of the questions, certainly, you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. Before we start with our questions from the people out there in Radioland,
I know it's coming.
We have the producer's questions.
Oh, these are always...
Our producer, Melissa Sandler.
Ungrammatical, historical, all the vices. Go ahead.
What is the last name of the architect who designed the General Motors Tech Center? He also did Cranbrook.
Finn.
I'm going to throw in Dulles Airport next.
And he designed the first co-ed dorm at the University of Chicago.
Really?
Well.
Imagine my surprise in the fall of 1959, coming out of the protected atmosphere of Bates College to a place where they were throwing open co-ed dorms.
Wow.
I mean, at Bates, women were signing in and out in those days. Mm-hmm.
Imagine my surprise in 1968 going to Michigan State University and having a roommate who had all his kilos of marijuana mailed to our room in my name so he wouldn't be arrested.
Very thoughtful man.
It was. I was.
It was a man, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
And we're back with some great questions about the adventures of Tom Sawyer, although Vivian, I'm going to apologize for the entire panel and myself when I say it hasn't been a recent read for us, so we're doing our best to remember the story.
One thing 50 years ago.
Last but certainly not least, what reward did Huck Finn get for turning in Injun Joe?
His two front teeth.
Just to help you out, Huck wasn't entirely as appreciative as one would suppose for this reward.
A Bible.
we already went through Tom winning the Bible,
freedom.
Right? No, the widow took him in, fed, clothed him, right. Offered to educate him.
Yes, corralled him.
What is the name of the cave, our last question, where Injun Joe meets his fate? Somebody's cave.
Mm.
The man cave.
I can remember the description the of landing. It. I can't remember the name of it.
I know, the landing. I when you said that, Stephanie, I assumed that had something to do with something.
Jed Smith's cave?
Isn't it a bar?
McDougal's cave.
Sure.
Good old McDougal's cave.
McDougal's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a bar. Somewhere.
Thanks for the questions. Let's move on to another set. Here's a set of 15 questions from all over the place, sent in specifically to be eligible to receive the upcoming, and what a great segue into, we are working on our autograph photograph coming very, very soon to a theater near you. Somewhere around here, unless it got lost, in one of the several moves I made between 1989 and 1994, I still have the one from the 80s with Ed DeWitt as the host and the late George Pickering. I hope UD Mercy kept one of those in the archives. Thank you, Matt, for the kind words on the March 8th program about how much fun you've had with the questions I've sent this season. Your faithful friend and listener, Kimberly Richards. Thank you. Kimberly, you're in Van Nuys, California. Once again, reminding us how cold it is here. That's all right. We forgive you. Let's see what Kimberly's sending our way.
And let's see if Kimberly will send a scanned copy of that picture.
That would be great.
I'd really love to see that.
That would be
hilarious. We could have it in our archives.
For the listeners who've been listening to us for a very, very long time, I was a student at the university when the VN was published out of the Smith Media Center, and that's where a lot of those things were kept. When we left that facility, I have a feeling a lot of those things were either thrown away or not moved. So,
or buried.
Anything
terrible.
You can send us about our own history would be great. What does the K in Kmart stand for?
Kresge.
Kresge. Sebastian S. Kresge, founder of SS Kresge Dime Store Chain. Yes. He retired as president of the company in 1929, long before there was any such thing as Kmart, but his name continued to grace the firm's stores for decades. All right, here we go. Bonus trivia. The first Kmart store opened 1 March 1962 in what city?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Nope.
Warren, Michigan.
Nope, but closer.
Troy.
Sterling
not Troy,
Heights.
Not Sterling Heights. Garden City, Michigan.
Garden City. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow. North.
For the record, 4 months before the first Walmart opened, and that year, 18 Kmart stores opened. That's fascinating.
I grew up in a town in North Carolina that had both Kresge and Kmart.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Same
for
here.
The longest time, there was an SS Kresge at Oakland Mall. For the longest time. It's like they didn't want to shut it down. And finally, it went out of business. Who was the last U.S. president who was supposed to have been born in a log cabin?
A log cabin in Kenya or a log cabin over there?
Just a log cabin. Just a log cabin. Just a log cabin.
Abraham Lincoln.
No, it was our 20th president.
Oh.
Cleveland?
Not Cleveland.
Who was our 20th? Hayes.
Shares the name with a famous cat from the comic strip.
Garfield.
Yes, Jim Garfield. 1831, he was born in the Ohio frontier town of Orange, which is now known as Moreland Hills. Sure, absolutely. They just didn't like the color.
Right.
What industry refers to customers who routinely pay their bills in full and on time as deadbeats?
Oh.
Credit card companies?
Yeah.
Yes, they credit card companies.
They don't want any money off them. They don't want them.
Too darn bad.
Pretty
Unfortunately,
funny.
I'm a deadbeat.
Pretty funny.
Lucky you.
How hot is the water and steam that's spewed by Old Faithful, the famous geyser in Yellowstone National Park? They've got it here at Fahrenheit.
Oh, so it's not Kelvin, sorry, Kendra.
200 degrees.
Fahrenheit.
It's 204 degrees, yes. Oh, the steam actually comes out at 350 degrees. That is hot steam. Wow. Very, very hot.
Good one there. How'd you get...
There's a nice little dealio going around the internet. I'm sure it's been around for a while, but this morning that had the temperature scales, so Fahrenheit, Celsius, Kelvin. It's like 0 Fahrenheit, feels cold. 100 Fahrenheit, feels hot. 0 Celsius, feels really cold. 100 Celsius, you're dead. Kelvin was basically the same thing. 0, all molecular motion stops. 100 Kelvin, still pretty cold. Okay. Which are the only two U.S. states that have a single consonant in their names?
Ohio
is one of them.
Iowa.
And Iowa, yeah, that's right. Very well done, Diane. Very
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Yes.
Spoken like a true school teacher.
I know everybody was craning up.
And I couldn't.
Our map on the wall there.
Down my back.
Oh, my gosh. How many, let's go for the straight up proper response numerically. How many U.S. state capitals have two or more words for their names?
Oh, wow.
21.
It is not 21. It's quite a bit less.
6.
Six is a little low.
8. 10.
It's not 8.
11.
10. 11. 12.
7.
This is like I bet price it's, is right here.
9.
Which is higher, the number of capitals or the number of guesses we're allowed?
Yeah, that's right.
You've gone beyond. It's 9. 9.
Oh. None of us said 9. I did say 9 during
this. I heard her say it.
During the huddle?
I'll back her up for that.
Baton Rouge, Carson City, Des Moines, Jefferson City, Little Rock, Oklahoma City, St. Paul.
Wow.
That's more of an abbreviation. Salt Lake City and Santa Fe. Salt Lake City being the only city name with three parts.
Three. Yeah.
Yes. Lansing.
Lansing.
Raleigh.
Detroit.
So can I true teacher.
Richmond.
They all do.
There is a part of a pizza that Italians call the cornicione. What is that?
The crust.
The crust. Yes, absolutely.
Pizza margherita.
Which four planets have rings around them?
Saturn.
Jupiter.
Uranus
and Neptune?
Yes, Uranus
and
Neptune.
Neptune.
Yep.
Yeah.
The rings of Saturn are the most spectacular. I think they own that award for a long time. Mm-hmm. Jupiter's rings are very thin and dark and can't be seen from Earth. And for the record, they weren't discovered until 1979. I remember that, actually. Neptune's rings are also dark and weren't discovered until 1989. Mm-hmm. And Uranus has 13 rings that have been observed so far. I love the background information, Kimberly. You do a good job writing these questions. How many bonus squares are there on the original Scrabble board?
Where's Dan? I play this all the time.
Dan Maggio probably would be able to do this off the top.
One in the middle, it starts off with double.
100.
You got one done. It's actually quite a bit less than 100.
Speak of the devil.
Wait a second. Oh, man.
Hey, wait, where'd he go?
He disappeared. He popped out of the cuckoo clock and went right back in.
Probably went to get a chair.
How many bonus squares are there? It's not 100. Right. That's a bit high.
All right. So let me just, if I count 50. These.
64.
I tell you what, 61, I'm giving it to you, Professor Tubbs. 61 nice. Squares.
Good job.
It's 24 double letter, 17 double word, 12 triple letter, and 8 triple word, which I always tried to aim for and never got once in my entire life, I'd just like to point out. What was the original flavor of the cream in Twinkies? I've never heard this before.
Banana.
It was banana, absolutely.
Because I ate one.
Was it good?
Nothing natural to it. Well, yes.
Why did they take it away? Why is it just plain?
It says
vanilla
that it was a World War II thing, that something needed to be conserved that was used, probably the lard, I'm assuming. And then post-World War II, they went with vanilla and never went back.
Huh.
Yeah, kind of sad.
Yeah.
The Little Debbie version of that would be, I believe they're called Banana Twins. My brother is obsessed with Banana Twins. He thinks they're the greatest thing
in the world. I think,
though,
back in the 60s, they brought back the Banana Twinkies for a little while.
Okay. Mm. Interesting.
Maybe that's why they went out of business.
That's right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's right. So, although
they're
someone made
too.
Them again, right?
Yeah.
They've been resuscitated.
You know, 85% of all sales of highlighters are two colors only.
Yellow
and pink.
And blue.
Pink.
Yellow and pink is what it is.
Oh, yellow and pink.
Where is Beth Oljar, the maven? Speaking
of
mavens,
the
she's
office
the maven of office.
She highlights everything.
Yeah. Yep. For numismatists, what's the significance of the years 1982... in 1983. I've heard this before. My boss is a pretty obsessive numismatist. I didn't know that it applied to these 2 years.
Say that clue again.
For numismatist, what is the significance of the years 1982 and 1983?
They changed the penny, right?
No, they didn't change the penny.
Dollar coinage?
No, not dollar coinage.
Change the makeup of the pennies or something?
Print new paper?
The Mint did not issue uncirculated coin sets. So every single coin they made circulated, which is weird, if you ask
that
me.
That is weird.
It's like early Reagan years. What are they thinking, that the good times would roll forever or something? I don't know.
I guess.
Because we definitely know they did not. What is the only diploma hanging on the wall of billionaire Warren Buffett's office?
Grinnell degree. College.
Now, you did go to Grinnell, but it is not Grinnell. Think ironic.
Business school.
Not business school. He took a course at age 20, and this was his I completed this course certificate.
Driver's training?
It was the Dale Carnegie course.
Oh. You're kidding.
Effective public speaking, leadership training, and the art of winning friends and influencing people.
That's obedience school in some circles.
I said you were in the wheelhouse. That is very funny. Very, very, very funny. What 1915 product gave the Sharp Corporation, Japan's consumer electronics giant, its name?
Knives.
It was not a knife.
A Ginju knife?
Although that's a great example. I think that's a great guess.
How about a samurai sword?
That's what I was going to go next.
No swords. It was the world's first mechanical, retractable...
Pencil.
Pencil, yes. Uh-huh. It was a very sharp
pencil. Should have held your pencil.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is there a clue?
1915, they called it the Eversharp. And now they're into TVs and phones and things like
microwaves.
That.
Computers.
It's the same company?
It's the same company.
They've diversified since then.
Japan.
They've diversified
everything.
Someone said it might be a good idea to not just sell pencils. Yeah. What valuable gemstones did miners throw away during the Montana gold rush of the 1860s?
Emeralds.
Not emeralds.
Diamonds.
Amethyst.
Not amethyst.
Jade.
Rubies.
Not rubies.
Pearls.
Freshwater oysters.
If anybody in the room remembers. Not garnets.
Diamonds.
Do you remember what the center stone was in Princess Di's engagement
ring?
Sapphires. Sapphires.
Oh, throwing them away.
The miners considered them nuisance pebbles because they clogged their sluice boxes.
Oh, poor babies.
Can you believe it?
No.
Can you believe it's the end of the show? We got to say goodbye, Diane.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Kendra.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Jason.
Later.
And goodbye.
Chuck. And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer and Tom Sawyer question writer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.